I'm speaking with Dr. Nishani Samarawira, who's a clinical psychologist at Ascension Borges's Delano Clinic. Thanks so much for taking time to speak with us.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate your time, too.
The current COVID-19 pandemic obviously causing a lot of problems in everyone's life, perhaps causing a lot of fear and anxiety. Is that a problem, do you think, with the pandemic?
There are definitely more people, even among my client population, reporting more concerns, more fears, more anxieties about their personal health, as well as more difficulty and anxiety associated with going about their everyday, daily life in business. And to some extent, that's perfectly normal, too, because this is a very different situation, a set of circumstances from what we've ever been exposed to before. So we don't have a prior protocol to use.
And that leads to anxiety if you don't have a pattern to fall back on then.
Yes, there's unpredictability and uncertainty. We also don't have a clear and specific set of guidelines about even how to interpret information and data about coronavirus. You know, whether it's how many people were diagnosed with it or how long a treatment regimen takes. Given that information and guidelines of what to do or recommendations of what to do also change within a short time of the previous recommendation and guideline, that also lends itself to a sense of unpredictability and uncertainty. And where there is uncertainty and unpredictability, some amount of anxiety is normal.
What are some of the ways do you think that people can help themselves cope with that?
Take a look at what you can do and what you can control. Find ways to reframe the current circumstances and even the limitations or restrictions you experience in terms of what you can do that allows you to fulfill what your daily requirements are, as well as what you can do to keep yourself safe and others safe. So those four things, you know, wear a mask, wash your hands, don't touch your face, stay 6 feet apart. Most of us, particularly in Michigan, are able to do that. We are not so densely populated that it's difficult to find a 6 feet of distance in a public space. So if we can reframe that as, okay, here's what I'm doing to increase the likelihood that I'm protecting myself and others and reduce the likelihood of putting myself and others in danger, this is a good thing. This is something I can do. This is where I find control rather than uncertainty. So even if it's that, and then taking a moment to be appreciative of what you are able to do even outside of protecting yourself from coronavirus. I can still go to the grocery store when I want to. And if the exact item I wanted was not there, most of the time I can find a substitute. I can go out for a walk. I can call up a friend.
Do you think that, you know, for some people who are really kind of stressed out about this, could it rise to the level of PTSD? People normally think of that in terms of people who've been in combat or had really, you know, traumatic accidents or, you know, been subject to an attack. But could someone develop PTSD because of the pandemic?
People can have stress and anxiety. People who are perhaps witnessing a family member or even a patient, so first responders, frontline healthcare workers who observe and are with a person who is struggling to breathe and dying as a result of it. Yes, they may experience trauma symptoms.
What's the best way to help those people deal with that?
I think a part of it, an important part of it would be recognizing that even trauma reactions, they can be thought of as this is a normal and lawful response for your brain and body and emotions to have to those circumstances. When we witness somebody struggling to breathe, being in pain because they cannot breathe, that's hard. So if you're having a nightmare about it, if you're having that image in your mind, and it keeps recurring even when you don't want it to. And it disturbs you even at times when you're trying to rest. That's understandable. But it is also helpful to talk about it. It's better to talk about that with someone, whether it's in the context of a debriefing team or even a family member or a friend. It's more helpful to talk about it, put into words what you're experiencing, rather than try to protect that person from being burdened by what you're feeling or experiencing. Very often, talking about it with someone really helps. It lets you put words to what you're experiencing. It allows you to acknowledge those reactions of helplessness, powerlessness, grief, anger even, all of which are normal and understandable in those circumstances.
We're only about 2 months or so into the pandemic. Do you think that there are likely to be, you know, long-term mental health implications from this?
Some people, as with any other stressful circumstance that requires an adjustment of how we do things, there will continue to be adjustment difficulties for many people. Some individuals, particularly those who already have a higher level of pre-existing stress or even mental illness, they may have more stress and anxiety symptoms, more depressive symptoms, part of it associated with kind of the existential realization that things happen in the world that are in some ways outside of our control, that are not the way we would want it to be. But we have gone through, as a race, we have gone through difficult periods before. Some parts of the world have ongoing wars and conflicts. So we are capable of adapting, but we may also need to take some time to mourn if we need to, grieve if we need to, process what we experienced, and even seek help, even professional help sometimes. One of the best adaptations that we can make with regards to coronavirus, I think, might be to recognize that it could occur to anyone. And because the data indicate that a particular certain demographics are hit harder by it than others, we need to be careful about not thinking of that demographic as the danger, or the people who represent that demographic as the danger. If you think in terms of the spread of certain types of illnesses in history, let's take scurvy. Was more common, more predominant among people who were poorer. But that had to do with the sanitation conditions, the living conditions that came with being poor. It wasn't that poor people are bad and poor people are the source of risk. It's more that there are these other social conditions, other economic hardships that get connected to it. And that's where we need to target a fight, not at this person or that, or the people from that demographic. You know, so not being anxious about being around the people who represent the demographic that's hit harder by the coronavirus.
We've been speaking with Dr. Nishani Samara-Wira, who is a clinical psychologist at the Delano Clinic at Ascension Borges. Thank you again so much for taking time to speak with us.
You're welcome.